So, of course, tomorrow is the 20th anniversary of 9/11, such a seismic global event. There's a good chance, I'd imagine, that many of you might watch documentaries or movies relating to 9/11 over the course of the weekend. So we decided to ask Dee Malumbi and Brian Lloyd from entertainment.ie to select perhaps some of the best movies, not necessarily for entertainment purposes, although there might be some of that as well, but just to grab people, maybe inform them a little bit better. Let's start, Dee Malumbi, with a new Netflix movie called Worth, which has got Michael Keaton, Stanley Tucci and Amy Ryan in it. What's all this about?
That's right. So the whole idea of this movie is that it kind of delves into the question of, you know, what is a life worth exactly? Because it kind of investigates the 9/11 victims compensation fund and how they had to ask, you know, would a janitor's or a school teacher's life be worth more or less than, say, you know, one of these big CEOs, just because the CEO earns more money, owns multiple houses, etc. So it's kind of an interesting investigation. And you've got Michael Keaton in there, who's kind of in charge of this fund. And Amy Ryan is kind of his partner in this kind of investigation, while Stanley Tucci plays this volunteer who's very much, you know, for the community and for the poor man. It's an interesting one, because I suppose there are always these quite, you know, messed up and sinister sides when it comes to any disaster, in that they have to kind of put a money value on lives lost, but someone has to do this work. So it's quite an uncomfortable and disconcerting watch at times, but you're also kind of acceptant that this is the reality for, you know, a lot of these people. I thought that Michael Keaton was very good in it, particularly he's initially kind of this totally emotionally detached character who just has spotted this career opportunity, but slowly he kind of starts to unravel as he can't resist how personal the work actually is. I found it quite a moving movie. I really liked hearing the personal stories, which I'd assume are based on kind of real stories and everything. It can be a little bit reductive and a little emotionally manipulative, but I thought it was generally worth a watch anyway, and it's on Netflix now, which is kind of handy enough to see.
Let's hear a clip from it, because in the days after the September 11 attacks, Kenneth Feinberg, played by Keaton, met with Congress to hear the proposal for a compensation scheme for victims of the attacks.
What we're proposing is a treasury fund offering tort-style compensation to the victims.
For their economic losses, something for pain and suffering.
Yes, but coming from us, Congress, not the courts. And in exchange, the claimants promise not to sue.
Corporate bailout.
Christ's sakes, Lee.
Well, you're calling it charity?
Yes. Government-sponsored charity.
With strings attached. Ken, help me out here.
A lawsuit could take decades.
Yes. After it crashes the economy. And the victims might still lose. This is for their own good. And the nation's.
How many victims are there?
Well, we don't really know yet. A special master we select will have to negotiate all settlements.
A flat fee would be another option, the same dollar value for every loss of life. But those towers had CEOs and janitors. They won't all say yes to the same number.
And even if they did, anybody want to go on record with what that number is?
Yeah, well, pretty soon, somebody's going to have to do the vulgar work of putting numbers on a check.
Brian Lloyd, it's a very interesting post 9/11 angle. What did you make of the movie?
I didn't really like it, to be honest. I did feel like what Dee was saying, like there is parts of it that I think that are very, very emotionally manipulative. And not only that as well, but like, I mean, you know, on the one hand, it tries to be as kind of emotionally detached of it as possible and be quite procedural about it. I mean, Michael Keaton's character makes this whole thing of, you know, somebody has to do this job. Someone has to, you know, sit down and try work it out, as distasteful and vulgar as it is. But then, and I don't think I'm giving this away, because when you're watching it, it seems very, very obvious. By the end of it, he comes to this conclusion that there can't be this one size fits all solution to this, and that you have to take in the personal situations of the victims. And yeah, and like, I mean, I think this is a kind of a wider problem with 9/11 films to a certain degree, is that, you know, like 9/11 was such a seismic event. It was such a epoch, really, in what we consider, you know, foreign relations, when we consider just every facet of life. So trying to kind of capture that and put it onto a film in any kind of way, whether it's, you know, Oliver Stone's World Trade Center, whether it's something like W, whether it's something like Vice, or even something like this, it always feels like it's reductive. It always feels like it's trying to, you know, ground it down into something that we can actually manage. But by doing that, then it becomes almost, not insulting is the right word, but it just feels kind of false. It feels insincere, I think.
Well, let's go through some of the movies. There was one I'm going to start with, which would be one that I must say I thought was brilliant when I watched it. But again, you wonder, should you be dramatizing a real life event for entertainment purposes? It was on the telly the other night again, Paul Greengrass's United 93. Which one of you wants to take that?
Yeah, I'll take this one, yeah. So yeah, I mean, like Paul Greengrass, I mean, he is known for having, taking on very, very, I guess you would say controversial kind of, like, I mean, he did the Bloody Sunday film from a few years back, and he does know how to kind of add a level of authenticity to it. Now, to be fair, I mean, the film does make, from the very, very beginning, it makes clear that there is a disclaimer that some imagination had to be used. But the film is done in real time, and it was done with the cooperation of many of the families. And yeah, I mean, it does kind of, that's it, isn't it? It does kind of get to that uncomfortable thing of, should they actually be dramatizing this? Should this be placed into a cinematic framework?
Because in many respects, Brian, it is a thriller.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. And this is it. Like, even, and this is going to sound terrible, but like, even the imagery of two planes smashing into the World Trade Center. I mean, you know, the fact that I remember this, like, it was the junior cert. I got my junior cert results the day 9/11 happened. And like, it is a very cinematic image, the idea of this thing happening, but it was real. People died, 3,000-4,000 people died. So how do you, by putting it on a screen, it feels like it's cheapening it. And United 93 does its best to be as documentarian about it. But even then, it's still weird. Like,
okay, let's have a clip from United 93. Ben Sliney was the air traffic controller at the time of the attacks, and he played himself in the movie. In this scene, he orders a shutdown of all air traffic across America.
Listen, I'm not taking any more chances. We got stuff flying around we have no control over. And I don't want a board full of these planes hitting every building on the East Coast. This is a national emergency. Everyone lands regardless of destination.
That's going to cost $3 billion.
Just do it.
We have hundreds of international flights coming in. They're already in the air.
No, I don't want any more international flights crossing the borders. They don't have to go back where they came from. Nobody's coming into the country from now on.
Everyone,
shut off the East Coast. Shut off all the international from Europe. Shut off South America. Shut off the West Coast.
Take a moment. Think about this. We're going to shut down the entire country right now?
That's right. Listen, we're at war with someone. And until we figure out what to do about it, we're shutting down. That's it. We're finished.
It's an extraordinary movie, United 93. Dee, talk to us about Zero Dark Thirty, 2012 Oscar winner directed by Catherine Bigelow.
Yeah, that's right. So people will probably be familiar with this one. It basically dramatizes the pursuit and eventual capture of Osama bin Laden. It arrived less than 2 years after bin Laden's death, and it was a big hit with critics. I think that Jessica Chastain gives a phenomenal performance in it, and it's a very powerful movie. I probably preferred it even to The Hurt Locker, if I'm honest, but it's still absolutely brilliant. And I mean, Catherine Bigelow is dealing with, you know, two big kind of, you know, events and subject matter with those films, and she does a good job about it. And I appreciate as well how it doesn't totally heroicize America as well. It kind of shows like the darker side when you see like the CIA torture and everything, because I think that can be an issue with some of these 9/11 movies as well. I think Brian absolutely hit the nail on the head, but sometimes there can be sometimes there can be a bit of giving themselves like a pat on the back with some of these movies. And when you compare it to something like, you know, World Trade Center, which is like, it's very kind of hopeful and everything. It's important for movies like Zero Dark Thirty to come out and show like kind of, you know, the darker underbelly of some of the stuff that was happening, particularly after the events of 9/11.
Let's hear a little bit from Zero Dark Thirty. This is James Gandolfini as the CIA director, Leon Panetta, asking his team how certain they are that they've located bin Laden.
I'm about to go look the president in the eye, and what I'd like to know, no f***ing bullshit. It's where everyone stands on this thing. Now, very simply, is he there or is he not f***ing there?
We all come at this through the filter of our own past experiences. Now, I remember Iraq WMD very clearly. I fronted that. And I can tell you the case for that was much stronger than this case.
a f***ing yes or a no?
We don't deal in certainty. We deal in probability. And I'd say there's a 60% probability he's there.
I concur. 60%. I'm at 80%. Their OPSEC is what convinces me.
You guys ever agree on anything?
Well, I agree with Mike. We're basing this mostly on DT&E reporting, and I spent a bunch of time in those rooms. I'd say it's a soft 60, sir. I'm virtually certain there's some high-value target there. I'm just not sure it's bin Laden.
Well, this is a little bit of a cluster f***, isn't it?
I'd like to know what Maya thinks.
We're all incorporating her assessment into ours.
100% he's there. Okay, fine, 95%, because I know certainty freaks you guys out, but it's 100.
Okay, that's Zero Dark Thirty. Brian, talk to me about the two Oliver Stone movies. One, World Trade Center from 2006. The other, W, the story of George W. Bush from 2008, which starred Josh Brolin as Bush.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, you know, W is, when you watch it, it's a comedy. Like, it is a comedy. Josh Brolin is playing George W. like an idiot. And, you know, George W. Bush was an idiot. Like, let's be honest about it. Like, he was a very, very simple man. And, you know, compare that to World Trade Center. World Trade Center was very much of trying to be as factual as it could about it, but kind of placing it in an emotional context. Like Nicolas Cage's character, he's a firefighter, you know, that sort of way. So, like, it's very much on the level with it. But, yeah, W was interesting because 9/11 featured in it. It clearly did. But at the same time, it was more concerned with the aftermath of 9/11, as in what came afterwards, the idea of going into the Iraq War, going into Abu Ghraib, going into all of that, Afghanistan and all that sort of thing. So I would say that, like, W is more about, it is about 9/11, but it's really more about how George Bush reacted to 9/11, whereas World Trade Center was very much trying to place 9/11 in a human, believable, emotional context. And the problem with World Trade Center, I think, is that it emotionalizes something which was already very, very emotional. And then something like W, I think it tries to be so detached from it that it almost treats it trivially, almost, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't buy into the theory that George W. Bush was quite the gum that everyone seems to think he was. Yeah, you don't become president of the United States if you're a complete gum, and I include Donald Trump in that as well. But which brings me, D, to Vice, because Sam Rockwell also played George W. Bush as a bit of an idiot in that movie, which very much sort of portrayed Dick Cheney as being in charge, particularly in the response to 9/11.
Absolutely. And I mean, Christian Bale just gives such a phenomenal performance as Cheney in it. I'll never forget the scene that always sticks with me from that movie is the very ending. Yeah. Remember when he has that front of address to the camera? I don't know how many minutes he's looking straight at you and giving that horrific, horrific monologue. But that's a phenomenal movie as well. And it actually won, I believe, the Oscar for Best Hair and Makeup, which it totally deserved because, oh my gosh, Sam Rockwell looks so like George W. in that film. It's actually quite scary. And then Christian Bale, of course, is like well known for his kind of, you know, method acting and bodily kind of transformations into these roles and everything. Vice is kind of a funny one. I find that Adam McKay can be like so kind of heavy in his dialogue and everything that I've only seen the film once and I couldn't even tell you a lot about what actually happens in it. I just remember, like I said, that visual of him talking to front of camera at the very end is kind of what stuck with me out of everything that happened in the movie anyway.
It makes it more, I mean, I would argue that, like, you know, the problem with comparing Vice to, say, W, Vice is Dick Cheney knows he's a villain and he doesn't care. I mean, that's really what the film is about. Dick Cheney, in Adam McKay's estimation, knew what he was doing was wrong and didn't care. He did it because he believed he was doing the right thing. Whereas George W. Bush and W, I think, it's more that he's a guy who was just in the right place at the right time. He kind of fell ass backwards into the White House. And that's why I would argue that he's an idiot, because he was helped by other people. Like, he had Karl Rove, you know, he had Dick Cheney around him, he had Donald Rumsfeld. So, like, and it was the same with Donald Trump as well. Like, Donald Trump had, you know, the Koch brothers, he had, you know, all the people in the, you know, Stephen Miller and all those guys, and
Steve Bannon and the
Steve Bannon and all the rest of it, Jim.
Well, let's move on just quickly before we get to documentaries. There's two other ones that I'm interested in because I have been wondering whether I should watch them or not. The Report, which stars Adam Driver and Annette Bening, and The Mauritanian with Jodie Foster and Shailene Woodley and Benedict Cumberbatch. Who wants to take the report for me?
Yeah, I'll take the report. Yeah, I love the report. I thought the report was brilliant. It kind of reminded me of All the President's Men insofar as it's very, very much trying to hew as close to reality as possible. Adam Driver plays a researcher who is sent to basically look over the enhanced interrogation tactics that were used in the likes of Abu Ghraib. And it's interesting, there's actually a scene in the report when Adam Driver's character is looking at a TV screen and it's a news report talking about Zero Dark Thirty, and his face is just completely blank as the kind of I think it's like Entertainment Tonight or something like that is kind of like, oh, you've read the book and now see the movie and now they're going to talk about torture. And and to be fair, this is an argument that people have given about Zero Dark Thirty, is that it kind of lightened itself. It lightened everything about what the CIA was doing. I mean, they were torturing people. They were waterboarding people. They were actually torturing people. And then ultimately the information that they got from it was completely useless. And that's what the report goes into. The report actually details it.
So let's watch that.
Yeah. Definitely worth
the Mauritanian.
Yeah, I think that both me and Brian saw this, but I think I actually preferred it slightly more than you did. Yeah, so this is actually available on Amazon Prime now for anybody who wants to watch it. It centers around a prisoner who is subjected to all this horrible torture, and he eventually confesses to crimes of terrorism. Tahar Rahim was this movie for me. I just thought he was so phenomenal in that lead role, so sympathetic, but he's never kind of hammy or disingenuous either. And then you've got the likes of Benedict Cumberbatch in there, Shailene Woodley, Jodie Foster is great as well. I thought that it was really effective, visceral depiction of the cruelty that happens in Guantanamo Bay. It's like really, really like in your face and absolutely horrible to watch, but really effectively done. And I thought that the film was really well edited from the perspective of the build-up of that backstory and what happened in the current day.
Okay, we're running tight on time. I want to get a couple of documentaries. And Dee, I'll start with you. I'm just going to play a clip first, though, from Michael Moore's famous 2004 documentary, Fahrenheit 9/11.
Of course, not a single member of Congress wanted to sacrifice their child for the war in Iraq. And who could blame them? Who would want to give up their child? Would you? Would he? I've always been amazed that the very people forced to live in the worst parts of town, go to the worst schools, and who have it the hardest, are always the first to step up to defend that very system. They serve so that we don't have to. They offer to give up their lives so that we can be free. It is, remarkably, their gift to us. And all they ask for in return is that we never send them into harm's way unless it's absolutely necessary. Will they ever trust us again?
Dee, it outraged Republicans, but it still remains, I think, wasn't it, a really, really provocative anti-war documentary.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it ended up winning the top prize at the Cannes Film Festival. It's still, I think, one of the highest grossing documentaries of all time. It's funny, I remember at the time seeing this film, I was so blown away by it and it filled me with such sorrow and such anger. But I feel like I'd rewatch it now with a much more critical eye because it was my first kind of time seeing a Michael Moore documentary and haven't seen more of his since, and just knowing more about how emotionally manipulative his work can be, I feel like I would watch it now with a more critical eye. But I mean, you can't deny how huge and influential it was at the time of release.
And there's one on Netflix at the moment, Brian, A Turning Point, 9/11 and the War on Terror. What's it like?
This is actually really interesting because what it does is it charts really, I mean, it tries to give as wide an angle as possible. I mean, it goes all the way back to the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan right up to today and then beyond the events of 9/11 and the invasion of Afghanistan. And it actually even goes into, it comes, I mean, as close up to possible as it can with Afghanistan. And the idea that, you know, the Northern Alliance took over, that they weren't exactly the good guys, but that the Americans needed a good guy in Afghanistan and this was as close as they could get. But yeah, I mean, what's interesting about Turning Point, I think, is the fact that it really does try to cover everything as much as possible. And I think that's always been an issue with a lot of documentaries and a lot of films about 9/11 is that it's so wide a topic. It has so many kind of interconnecting contexts that trying to do it into one film would never work. But Turning Point does it. It's got 6 or 7 episodes. So it can really take the time to, you know, explain everything. Why does that connect? Why was that important? Why was this happening? Why was that happening? And yeah, and I have to say, it's one of the best documentaries I think Netflix has put out this year. It is really, really comprehensive.
Excellent. Brian Lloyd and Dee Malumbi from entertainment.ie, thank you for joining us.